Ballyholland is an area that I know very well. I grew up in the next parish to Ballyholland, and I know the people in the general area are very shocked by the ongoing attacks on livestock there. This is the third attack. It happened over the weekend, a third attack on sheep. I want to speak to one of the local councillors, Declan McAteer. Declan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Declan, it is absolutely unbelievable. You know the area, I know the area. The people who have their farms there, they're all small farms. They wouldn't have a huge number of animals. It's very much a country area where people are eking out a living. And for three farmers to have their livestock executed by people who have incredibly brutal intent is shocking, isn't it?
It is absolutely shocking. You know that, and it's only really now, as the media takes an interest in it and the word spread, it's only really now that it's sinking in. You know, about the level of depravity here that's involved, which is actually worrying a lot of people, Frank, around. You know,
I spoke last week to Cormac, who is one of the farmers who lost his sheep. And yeah. Indeed, the latest farmer has been interviewed by UTV, distraught as well. But the shock of going into a field and seeing the throats of animals cut and their ears removed. How do we get to a position whereby those people, and most likely more than one person, every farmer says that one person could not be doing this. How do we get to a point where we apprehend these people?
Yeah, well, that is the difficult bit. You know, now I understand that that there are forensics involved, so maybe that will help in some form or other to have maybe a profile built up. But at the end of the day, it's probably going to come down to local knowledge. People are still uncertain whether it's one or more. You know, people are talking about somebody who is potentially some have some issues. You know, individual who have some issues, but if there's more than one person, that would nearly throw you off that scent in it, you know. But the bottom line is, somebody probably knows something, and it's going to take a bit of courage to, for somebody to sort of, allay or forward their suspicions, even though they may only be suspicions. You would have to be brave enough to do that, and and take the consequences from that, But I do think that's only going to be, it's going to be local knowledge, and people have been very alert. You know, if people in the Ballyhold or or the Bourne Hilltown area, quite a highly populated area of sheep. So if neighbour looks after neighbour and looks out for strangers going around or suspicious activity, that hopefully will help, because quite frankly, whoever's doing this, they must be stopped before this moves to a new stage.
Those who are doing it must be covered in blood, and they must be going back to their homes or to their areas. There's bound to be family members who have suspicions about individuals, male or female, who are out at night, who have blood on their clothing or who have discarded clothing that they had, or they have blood on their hands. They must have some suspicions. It's a big step, however, to call the PSNI on that one.
Well, yes, absolutely, indeed. But I still think, I was talking to one of the police constables the other day, and they were telling me, about the benefit of Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers, when you phone, it simply takes the intelligence, doesn't really ask for the names of the person who give it. The whole thing is based around gathering information, gathering intelligence, and so people can feel comfortable in that. They won't be, they won't be named, but the intelligence or the suspicions that they're giving in is held in total confidence, So therefore, it's virtually risk-free. So that is probably the line, really, to take in this in terms of getting involved with the PSNI and going to them, albeit by the Crime Stoppers,
Some people locally feel the police aren't taking it as seriously as they should be taking it. Do you feel they are?
Oh, they absolutely are, yes. And actually, the police are as... like many people, the police are extremely concerned about this. They really are, and they are treating it very, very seriously. So police do work in the background, and they can't rush into things. They must gather evidence. They must, try and get a profile of the age group of the persons, and then rely on local information and long, hard slug police work really to bring somebody like this to account, you know.
There is a worry. Yeah, you're confident that the police are taking it seriously, because there is a concern, and we talked about this the last time that I was bringing it up as a topic here, which is only a week or so ago on the programme. Those who would execute sheep at that level in such a sinister way and remove body parts from the sheep, those people eventually could be a threat to mankind.
That is the subtext to all this, you know. That is now entering the lexicon in the area, where people now are saying, you know, our children safe, our people living at home safe, because if you could upgrade this, you know, this to a new level, if people, you know, if it gets traction, and if the culprits aren't caught, potentially over a period of weeks, months, who knows, that could escalate to that, and that's what is worrying myself, the police, and a lot of the community locally, Frank.
One of the lines of inquiry with the police, would it be targeting drug users in the Newry area?
Well, I haven't heard that particular line, you know, forwarded to myself. The people I've spoken to are just simply, you know, in the early stages of investigation. But I suppose anything goes, you know, it's open to all, you know. So drugs, yes, it could be, but. Having said that, somebody would need to be fairly well fit and able to, you know, corral sheep into a corner and to do that act so clinically. You mean this wasn't a butcher attack? This, they seem to be quite determined that, you know, there was a clean cuts, for example, and you know, body damage as well. So it wasn't like a frenzied attack, but quite clear cuts, you know. To the sheep, so we can all speculate, but it's so difficult to know, you know.
It is so sinister, and in the meantime, the families, and they are family farms and whatever, as I said at the very beginning, small holdings, but people will be looking out for unusual activity, and they'll be reporting it. It is important that people keep a watchful eye, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and I must say my thoughts are with the families, you know, because it's a very disturbing thing that to be visited upon any family, farming family or not. There's also the financial side of it as well, you know, sheep, and some of those sheep that I know were some pedigree, I think Suffolk sheep, quite valuable, you know, £250-£300 a piece maybe, and lambs as well, left maybe with no mother. So the potential loss there is quite significant for part-time farmers, you know. I was thinking this morning, you know, there is, you know, maybe a way of where at the Northern Ireland office, if there's a number of people involved, that maybe some compensation can be looked at in terms of the incidents, you know.
Declan, thank you very much indeed. Declan McAteer, an SDLP councillor in the Newry area. Serious worries and concerns in that Ballyholland vicinity, and not just in Ballyholland, but indeed Declan mentioned places like Burren out through Grinan on towards Warren Point, Mayo Bridge, Hilltown, where there are a lot of sheep, that band of countryside from Ballyholland to Burren to Derrileca to Mayo Bridge to Hilltown, and those people could strike anywhere. That's the third attack on the little animals in the field grazing, going in and executing them and cutting their ears off. The individuals who are doing this absolutely need to be stopped. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105, listening to you.
So, what is going on inside the heads of the sheep killers? How evil are they? Let me speak to Deirdre Maguire, the mind wellness expert from DeirdreMaguire.com. Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you today?
Very well, Deirdre, but maybe it's because it's my neck of the woods and I've touched on this story now two or three times. The killing of defenceless animals in fields by an individual or set of individuals, where would you start to understand the mindset of people as evil as these ones?
I've just been listening to you this morning, and there is no doubt about it, Frank. It's certainly very sinister. But what you touch on there is something that where I would actually consider going, and that is coming back to the premise that we are all tribal. You say that this touches you because it's part of your community. So community is very important. And where I would go with this is to the part of the mind that needs to belong. And as you touched on it this morning, there's little doubt that this is not carried out by an individual, that this is being carried out by a group. So in my experience previously dealing with addicts, etc., even the person who starts smoking, the reason that they do that is that they want to belong. An 11-year-old child who wants to belong to a community, a tribe, will smoke because he sees the bigger one smoking. And it's based on the same principle. That those were my thoughts this morning as I was listening to it. That somewhere, somehow, maybe someone is with a strong desire to belong is actually being coerced into doing something that they wouldn't otherwise agree with. This could be a possibility. Does that make sense?
Well, I understand what you're saying, that maybe, say for instance, there's four people doing it. There could be a couple of them who are vulnerable people, who are easily persuaded, who have joined in it as an act of bravado, who maybe don't understand the cruelty, the savagery, the destruction that they're involving themselves in. I'm really clutching at straws here to try and justify the involvement of a couple of them. But you did mention that they'd be influenced. There must be someone on the team who has made a decision to kill defenceless animals, to take body part trophies from those animals and to leave the scene almost as a challenge to authority, a challenge to the police. That is incredibly concerning. That suggests to me that that person's a step away from, as some people in the area think, maybe attacking a child or a defenseless human being.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And actually, the way you're explaining it is what makes it clear that someone who wants to make a statement, someone who themselves have been victimized, someone, it could be someone who has been very severely sexually abused. It's something that has gone awry in the mind, where the mind has created this as a justifiable act. I am not justifying it. I hasten to add that. I am not justifying it. But what I'm saying is that when we step into the mind of the person, somewhere in their psyche, this is justifiable. This could be a direct reaction to something that has been done to them, something that they have experienced. And it is simply a reaction to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following you. I absolutely am. And I, if you listen to this program often enough, you will know that I detest excuses being made for people who do evil things. But I take on board that maybe the person who is cutting the throat of sheep and removing their ears has in some way been through a horrible experience themselves. That is possible.
Yes.
And you say you're not justifying it, and absolutely, and I would not allow you to justify it. But how do we stop the person? How do we stop these individual, this person or this group of people from doing it again? Is there some sort of message you can put out to them? Is there something that can go in the local paper? Is there something that can be put on social media to try and convince them that they need maybe to come forward and get help? Or would they simply be loving the fact that we're having this conversation and absolutely planning to prove that they can do it again?
Well, both could be true. If it is a call for attention, if it is a call for attention, that could be. If it is a call for, justice for something that has been done to them, then what comes to my mind is vigilance on our part in our community, that we notice if someone is particularly withdrawn. Notice if someone is behaving in a way that is so unacceptable that it is, not by activity, but by a quietness, a withdrawn from community. And if we notice someone like that, you know, someone who's doing something like this is not operating in their community in a fully contributive way, they must be withdrawn in some way. And our vigilance around that. And the other thing that is very important is that, I know you'll not like this, Frank, but it needs to be, there needs to be a safety for someone to come forward. So say for example, you imagine that there are four or five people in this group and one of them doesn't really want to be there, but they're in it because they want to belong to the community. It needs to be safe for that person who can help us, for that person to step forward. So what I would say, if I was doing this, I would appeal to anyone who may be involved in this, who can come forward anonymously without judgment. This is not a time for judgment on it, Frank. This is a time for finding a solution to it. So if we appeal to anyone out there who may, for whatever reason, have got involved in this, that it is okay to come forward anonymously, that they will not be judged, they will be dealt with fairly, so that we can start to take action on this.
And that may be a fair enough point, because if they are listening at the moment and they are considering being a whistleblower on it, they can use the Crime Stoppers number. They can give the information, if they wish, to a police officer in Newry Police Station at Ardmore. They can literally go through the doors and say, I want to come and talk to you about this. The police would totally love to hear from a person like that. It will be of benefit to them when it goes to court. One thing's for sure, they've got to stop the ringleader, because there's serious worry in that area that a child may be targeted.
So you see, can you imagine, Frank, that if your cultural conditioning dictated that you don't trust the police, that you don't trust, that, you know, when you talk like using that language, you know, when it goes to court, when there are Crime Stoppers, when you talk like that, you may be actually deterring the person from coming forward. Where can this person go anonymously, safely forward? What comes into my mind right now in this moment is someone like myself. You know, they can contact someone anonymously and begin to talk about this, to actually start talking. You're right back at the very core of it, the very beginning of it, that this person is so frightened at this point that they've got themselves into something that is so big and so sinister that they have no way out of it. And to simply walk into a police station and say, you know, here we are, I'm going to blow the whistle on all of these people, is not the language that someone like this would need. They need something that is so safe. It's like, it's like Bambi in the woods. We all have to go very quietly so that we can actually see this frightened, out of control, traumatized victim in the middle of this.
You see, this is where you and I would differ. Obviously, if they came forward to me, if after the radio program I got a phone call in Newry and they said to me, yes, Frank, listen, I'm one of the four people killing the sheep, I want you to come and talk to me in Newry, I would go and talk to them, but I would be advising them to go to Ardmore Police Station. I would not be advising them to go and have their, and I don't want to be flippant about this, their mind read by a mind wellness expert. I would want them to, you know, they were big enough to go in and kill the darn sheep. Now have the whatevers to go into the police station and accept your guilt, help with the inquiry, get a lighter sentence or a lesser fine, because you are going to help put away some sick individual who is very possibly evil, who just might kill a child. And that's where the bottom line would be for me. You're by the time you take your approach, the dastardly deed could be done.
So what I'm saying is, Frank, which strategy serves the problem better? Yes, I hear what you're saying, but there's no point in that. This is a strategy at the minute. We're right at the very beginning. This person's right in the thick of it. I dealt with drug addicts. I know they've been in cartels, they've been in gangs. I have dealt with people like this. And they're not going to give their mindset up to you just like that. You have to go slowly. You have to go. It's a strategy. Of course, there will be the ultimate, the court, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not where we're at the minute. At the minute, what we are looking for is someone to feel safe in some way, or enticed in some way, that they can step forward and start to unravel this. This is so sinister.
Okay, okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not. It's a strategy. That's what it is.
Okay, Deirdre McGuire, thank you very much indeed. If you are one of the people involved and you are listening to the programme and, you know, you want to go online, go to deirdremcguire.com. It's very easy to contact her. Have a conversation online with her. Fair play. If it's going to, in some way, stop what is happening in the Ballyholland area, because a significant number of sheep have been executed in the fields. That is incredibly sinister. It's the word Deirdre McGuire uses. It is the right word. It is sinister. And there is a ringleader somewhere in your group who just might go a step further than killing animals. And that is a serious, serious concern in our community back home. Claire's got a point. Good morning, Claire.
Hi, morning, Frank. I was just ringing up because I just thought this was like an opportunity to look at a bigger picture, which is, I know the killing of the sheep is just, it's just awful. Like, there's no, I just don't understand why people would be so evil. But there's also like a legal issue where people are actually going out and killing things like foxes and badgers, which obviously, not with badgers, but it's illegal here to kill a fox. So I thought, you know, this is a big story because it's illegal to go and kill someone's possessions, which are sheep. But people are actually out there killing wildlife and being really, really evil. To say, like, digging out foxes, digging out badgers, taking their dogs out, doing this thing at night, you know. And in Northern Ireland, it's still legal here for people to do that with foxes. And I just thought it was an opportunity to raise an issue that there is these people out there that get a thrill out of killing animals. And I know they're wild, but they're still an animal.
Yeah, Claire, you're obviously an animal lover. You are completely against the killing of any form of wildlife. I'm listening to what you're saying, but can you not see a difference between what is happening in Ballyholland and someone who shoots a fox?
Yes, I can see a difference because it's someone's livelihood and it's someone's animals. But I do also think that there is people out there, possibly the same people that have that mindset to kill an animal so brutally, that would actually do the same with a fox, that would maybe chase it down, kill it. I've watched so many things online, in Northern Ireland, of people kicking out foxes, letting their dogs chase them, catching them again, you know. Honestly, you couldn't even describe how brutal it is. And it's these type of people that have that in them, that they want to see suffering and they want to kill animals. And it's just, I just thought it was an opportunity to say that maybe it's the same type of people that are out there. There's hundreds of them. They're not going to stop until it's, you know, made illegal here. And, you know, I really do hope it catches the people that have been killing the sheep. My heart goes out to those that have found their sheep and God knows what state. I think that's horrendous.
Yeah, but Claire, there will be people listening to this radio programme who'll be screaming at the radio because you're saying a person who controls wildlife, a person who kills rabbits, a person who puts terriers into a burrow to get foxes out, people who do that, you're equating them with the sinister evil people who go into a field and execute a sheep and take its ears as trophies. You're seeing really no difference between that person or that group of people who kill the sheep and those who would have lurchers and terriers and a spade and out and about controlling what they would see and very often describe as vermin in the countryside. Now, at a personal level, at a personal level, I am completely against the killing of wildlife. All wildlife. That is at a personal level. But I must say, looking in on the issue in Ballyholland and listening to what you are saying, I get a sense that you're diluting the atrocity that's ongoing in Ballyholland with animals when you compare the people who are doing that to the people who may hunt rabbits or foxes. Because people who hunt rabbits or foxes have an argument that they do it to control vermin in the countryside. They've had their chicken house raided. There's too many rabbits eating the vegetables. They've got arguments as to why they do it. And they have a mindset that they believe in, that they are entitled to do it, and there needs to be control of everything from rabbits to foxes to grey squirrels or whatever. And their mindset is different from the people who kill the sheep. And I think most people would see a difference in mindset there, whereas you're equating the killing of the sheep with the killing of the rabbit. And that is... That to me dilutes your argument slightly.
No, definitely not. Honestly, the story is horrendous. I've been following it, and I just, you know, finding your sheep and having to get them put to sleep, that just must be awful. And I'm not diluting it in any way. I'm just saying that there is actually people out there that if you look on Facebook, if you look on Instagram, people holding foxes up as trophies. You know, lining them up, how many they've caught and cubs and things. I'm not comparing it to a rabbit. I'm not. And yes, I would not agree with even killing a rabbit, but I'm not comparing it to that. I'm just saying that I don't think there's any excuse for it. I think someone that is, you know, killing a fox humanely, maybe with a gun, is completely different to, you know, torturing a fox and giving it a really horrible ending. Exactly the same way as they've done with the sheep and cutting their ears and slicing their throats and doing, but it's just some people are running around in our communities and have that mindset where they cannot wait to get out that evening and get the thrill of killing and brutally murdering an animal. And it's them people, in my opinion, that are brutally going out and killing these sheep. And, you know, they're just mixing with us in society. And it's just, there's no... I just can't even describe how much it's just horrendous.
Okay, Claire. I'm listening to you as you're speaking, and you know, I go back to my original point. I am completely against what you've described there. The sending terriers into burrows and digging out of foxes. It is a horrific undertaking, and it should not be happening. Down the years, it has happened in country communities. It's still happening in country communities. I've seen it happen in country communities, and I am completely, completely against it. As for mindset of those who are hunting foxes and those who are killing the sheep, I do see a difference in the mindset, but I understand the argument you are putting, Claire. I do understand the argument that you're putting. It's a quick word from Mavis. Mavis, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Frank. You'll have to excuse the husky voice of a bit of a chest infection. First of all, my heart goes out to the farmers. And secondly, not only that, what about the suffering of those poor wee animals to the next morning dying and bleeding to death? Whoever they are, Frank, they will be caught. And the community should get together and do their best and utmost to catch them. And I don't think it's a one-person thing. I just think it is a lot of evil-minded thugs and just are delighted. And not only that, I think they've worked in a butcher's. Obviously, they know how to do it. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised some of these days it'll be on bloody Facebook or whatever else they stick on social media. But they're just evil individuals, and they will be caught, Frank. And I don't agree with any animals being killed, wild or anything else.
But how do we apprehend the people who are doing it. I'm sure they are pretty skilled at the killing of the animals, and I'm sure one of the things that the police have looked at would be, have they been trained in any way in butchery? That's one of the things the police may be looking at. They could be, for example, they could be very skilled with using knives if they worked in the upholstery industry. I'm just using that as another example. But they seem to have a skill when it comes to the execution of these sheep and also the removal of their ears. How do we get to how do we get to actually apprehending them? Deirdre McGuire from DeirdreMcGuire.com was saying that someone should be allowed to come forward anonymously, almost be given, she didn't actually use the word an amnesty, but there was almost a suggestion that they be treated understandingly and they be understood and treated with, I suppose, kid gloves for coming forward and help them in some way. Might that be an option?
Probably, maybe, but I think maybe an anonymous phone call would just do them. Thing about it is, if they do an anonymous phone call, then they're not going to get their little amnesty. But what they're doing is so totally wrong. And whether they have had anything done to them or not in their childhood, a lot of us have had that, Frank, growing up. We don't go out and kill wee animals, little lambs, sheep, set dogs on fire. There's just badness in them, Frank, and that's all there is about it. You can't, it's like, and I don't, no offence to Deirdre, isn't it 90% of the community that are sent down, juveniles, to the likes of Rathgale or wherever it is, they reoffend again. That's because everybody's treating them with kid gloves. You know, it's just not the way to treat people that do things that are wrong, and they know that they're wrong.
Okay, maybe this is one of the topics we touched on last week. A number of you are talking about these sheep killers and you simply want them jailed, and you are fearful about just what they might do in the future if they continue to get away with injuring animals, killing animals the way they have been doing over the last 2 to 3 weeks in the Ballyholland area. Some of you asking where Ballyholland is. It's very close to Newry. It's actually the high ground overlooking Newry would be a good way of describing it. So you would be very close, within walking distance of the actual town of Newry, or the city of Newry, as they call it. And if you go out through Ballyholland, then you'll eventually come, by going through the countryside, you'll come to Warren Point. So it's that general country area. Anthony's been on here and he's been asking me to look in the paper to see an ad for the 12th. He says, I couldn't believe the Orange Order put a full page advert in today's Irish News to come and enjoy the Orange Fest. Do they live in the real world? Do they think nationalists will watch that sectarian hate fest? What a waste of money, says Anthony. Anthony, it prompted me to sort of open the paper to have a look. It is a brave big ad. It cost a few bob to put that in. And it's very well presented, if you don't mind me saying. It says, come and enjoy the 12th celebrations, the parade, the food festival, the street entertainment. Belfast is open for business. City Hall tours, Museum of Orange Heritage is open. It's still, it says, and there's a wee play on the word still, but it says, it's about the battle, not the bottle, right? And then it goes, it's still, with it written in orange, and the wee upside downy thing, you know, it sort of shoved it in at the end. What's that wee upside downy thing called? There's something for that. Is there you know, if you're writing a sentence and they've left a word out and you put in a wee thing like a fork and you write at the top of it, I've no idea what it's called. However, they've used that trick. It's still about the battle, not the bottle. All right, so they're getting the message across there that they want to celebrate the Battle of the Boyne, but stay away from the booze, okay? And they have live updates on at Belfast Orange Fest. So get your Twitter account out there and get on to at Belfast Orange Fest. Or you could go .comming on Facebook / Belfast Orange Fest. And they have a man with a big drum, a lamb bag, and it says under him, the pageantry of the occasion is seen in the banners, which reflects the culture and history of the Orange Institution. The colourful paintings on the banners tell the stories of people, place, community and country. Okay, so I know the likes of Anthony will be saying, aye, indeed, what about those other banners? You know, banners are controversial banners. But, you know, just let's concentrate on the majority of the banners for a moment, Anthony. Then it says about tradition. It says, bands accompanying lodges on the parade Bands accompanying lodges on the parade has been a long-standing tradition of our celebrations. The tunes played by over 70 bands will range from traditional airs to modern classics. Okay, no controversial ones at all, Anthony, so they're been completely eradicated. I know he's probably shaking the radio now with annoyance because the last thing he wanted me to do was to read out the Blimmin'ad. But this is how the Orange Fest organisers and the people who are providing the 12th of July entertainment want to project it, because they do get a significant amount of negative publicity. And we talk about the controversial banners. We talk about the controversial tunes, the songs, the marching in front of the churches. We cover all of that. But we rarely look at what has been advertised in the paper here. So, Anthony, you drew my attention to it, so I'm continuing. It shows a man on a smaller drum, and it says a key part of the day is taking part in remembrance. The parade stops at the cenotaph in the grounds of Belfast City Hall to honour all those who have served and sacrificed in the cause of freedom. And the one which Anthony will be apoplectic about is respect. And you know what it does? It shows a man on a baron. I've never seen a man with a baron at a 12th parade. I never have. And I've watched plenty of them. Am I the first person to say that? Are there loads of barons going up and down the likes of the... Well, I used to see it off the roof of the building here when they came down the Ormer Road. But they haven't been doing that for a long number of years. But there wouldn't have been a baron, not among them. However, maybe Walter, if he's on the telly describing them, will put the spotlight on the... It might as well have a Guinness ad on that. It says, respect... One of the key themes of the day by Attitude and Actions is respect. People are asked to respect the occasion, the celebrations, but also respect for the traditions of all. So is that a message to themselves, or is that a message to people who aren't taking part in it? I think it's a message probably to both. And it says, Belfast, this is a big ad. It says, Belfast Orange Fest 2017, supported by the Policing and Community Safety Partnership, who would like to see everything pass off smoothly. And if you want to really be out there and embracing it, Carlisle Circus, Clifton Street, Donegal Street, Royal Avenue, Donegal Place, Donegal Square North, Donegal Square West, Bedford Street, Dublin Road, Shaftesbury Square, Bradbury Place, Lisburn Road, Balmoral Avenue, Malone Road, Barnett's Domain, and then the whole way back when it's all over. Right, but Anthony is so annoyed that the Irish News have taken an ad for it. Now, let me get my breath back. I want to speak to Dr. Maggie McGurgan, who's on the line. Dr. McGurgan, good morning.
Good morning.
Give me the proper pronunciation of your surname, Maggie.
McGurgan.
So I wasn't too far out.
No.
All right, good. You're from the Royal College of Psychiatrists, and we're trying to get inside the minds of who I described as evil people earlier, who are killing these sheep in the Ballyholland area, executing them, taking their ears as trophies after they kill them. What's going on in their heads, Maggie?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to emphasise that it's really impossible for me or anyone else to say, in the absence of being able to fully and thoroughly assess the person or persons involved in this, it would be completely wrong for anyone to comment that there is an assumption that mental illness is involved here, and I think that's probably the most important message to try and get across. It's an absolutely awful act of animal cruelty, and I don't think anyone would condone that. But to extrapolate from that, that this means this person or persons have a mental illness, would be completely unreasonable and not appropriate.
Would it be acceptable to suggest that they're off their head on a substance?
I think that's a possibility. I think there are a number of possibilities, many of which are quite unpleasant, about what may be going on here. I think that there is obviously a possibility that, you know, substance misuse could be involved. But again, in the absence of clear information, you couldn't say with what likelihood that would be the case or not.
What are the chances of someone who does this on a regular basis, and it's happening regularly in Ballyholland, doing it to a human being?
Again, there are no clear studies that would, you know, link between what likelihood someone who carries out animal cruelty would have to take that further to harm other persons. Animal cruelty is used as a criterion for a couple of diagnoses, but it's only part of a much wider assessment of that person and looking for a much greater number of things. So again, I wouldn't be able to give you numbers that would help anybody to understand this any better.
There is locally conversation and suggestion that these people, they'd be well advised to turn themselves in. If they're caught, they'll be lucky if they're caught by the police and not caught by some people in the general Newry area who are getting very, very sick of it. So what would your advice be to the individuals?
Well, obviously, if you are aware that you have been involved in a criminal act and you want to have the best possible outcome in terms of criminal proceedings, it would be advisable that you do turn yourself in. I think it is important to remember that if there's more than one person involved here, sometimes people are more likely to make poor choices or more extreme choices than they would in a group rather than they might as an individual. And so perhaps a person taking some time to reflect on this on their own might have a better chance of making the right decision than when they're with the others, if there are others involved.
And if they did give themselves in and you were sitting across a table from them talking to them, what sort of questions would a psychiatrist be asking them?
Well, again, this is not my specific area of expertise. I understand that the college would have liked to have had a psychiatrist with a forensic psychiatry background able to speak with you today. Unfortunately, no one's available. It's a very difficult time of year. A lot of people on annual leave and things. But the assessment would be very thorough, would look at any other history of psychiatric illness in the past or any other history of problems in their childhood or early development. Have they themselves had a difficult or turbulent background? What has made them make these very poor choices?
And do you always search for, and I don't mean this flippantly, but do you search for an excuse? Maybe it's an explanation would be a better way of putting it. Is it not just possible that these people are sheer evil?
Well, I don't think we would have the time or the inclination this morning to discuss what is evil. I think that any person can make very poor choices, and this is clearly a person or persons making very poor choices. And yes, I think it's human nature, and it's certainly in the practice of psychiatry to try and examine why people make the choices that they make, but with the understanding that there can be a very huge number of reasons, for any choice for any of us.
Yeah, I'm just... I was speaking to Deirdre McGuire, who's a mind wellness expert, earlier in the program, and talking to you now as a psychiatrist. And maybe I have to be more open to the suggestion that there is a reason why people do things. There's always a reason. I've lived most of my life looking at people as being good or bad, and some people, okay, had a bit of a raw deal, and you would understand maybe how they got on the wrong track, but there are so many people who had difficulties in life, who've had challenges in life, who've coped with all sorts of heartache in life, and they haven't turned out to be evil. They're really decent people. They're good people. They're the sort of people you'd want around you, the sort of people who inspire you. Mm-hmm. But someone who goes into a field and does what these people are doing to sheep, the vast majority, I think, of the audience, or just society, don't want the explanation. They want these people taken out of society. And I sense that there's not enough effort to remove people like this from society.
Well, again, I think we would be making a huge jump to make it, even give the consideration that someone requires to be removed from society. I understand exactly where you're coming from, as in, I think anybody would say that they are appalled and horrified by these acts. And, the vast majority of people would seek to be good to any animal and find it, an intensely awful act of cruelty to hear what has happened and be very disturbed by it. But we can't, without seeing the person or persons and speaking to the person or persons, work out why and what is going on and what we can do to change that. What we can do to make that person not do the same thing again.
Yeah, so it's professional. Your approach, my approach is probably emotional, whereas yours is professional. That's the difference between a psychiatrist and a member of the public, Maggie. But I really appreciate you coming on, and thank you for your time. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Dr. Maggie McGuigan, whose every answer she gave me there was completely professional. Whereas, you know, if you're standing in a field and there's a wee sheep lying there dead with its throat cut and its ears removed, and you've spent maybe a couple of years rearing the wee thing, and you might have even got to like it. You know what I mean? I know people say, oh, it's going to be sent to the butchers anyway, but maybe it was just the one sheep that was going to remain as a pet. Because I look into a field, and when I see sheep, I don't see future food. I see lovely animals. I see delightful creatures. And, you know, I couldn't be a farmer because I couldn't rear them and then sell them to the butcher. But that's you know, that's me. So I'm looking at it from a very soft perspective, and I treat all animal stories from a very genteel and soft way because, again, that's me. But I find it very hard to find sympathy for the people who do the like of that. You know, I search my soul for that, and I really do find it difficult. And, you know, that's why you need voices like Dr. McGuigan. You need voices like that, or even, you know, the Dirty McGuire from DirtyMcGuire.com be another example, or people from, you know, these voices for young people in care, voices like that to you hear on this program from time to time. You need to hear those voices to keep it balanced, or you just get really, really sick and angry, you get sick off the people who do it and angry about the people who visit that sort of hurt, whether it be on a dumb animal or on society in general. So thankfully we bring you the entire raft of opinion to keep everything as balanced as we possibly can.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105, here for you.